O God, my strength and my... I wonder, what do you immediately think of if I say the word dog? Mine would be tennis balls, or madness, or hunger, because those are the things that define my dog, I think. But for most people, it would probably be cat. You say dog, and you say cat. It's one of those psychological tests, isn't it? You say a word, and you say the next word that comes first into your mind when you first do it. If I say walk, what would you say? If I said sun, what would you say? Well, we could do the same with the Bible as well, couldn't we? How about Joseph? Moses, Peter, Thomas. Yeah, I heard people saying then. And I wonder how many of you thought of the word doubt when I called out the name Thomas. After all, it's become a phrase that we use, hasn't it? Doubting Thomas, someone who doesn't believe something. We call them a doubting Thomas. Poor old Thomas is all I can say to that. Along with phrases doubting Thomas, another saying that comes to mind when we consider the gospel passage today is seeing is believing. You are fairly convinced, I hope, that I am real. You can see me. You can hear me. And pre-COVID, we could shake hands with one another so you could touch me as well, at the peace. But know that I'm here. Seeing is believing. Thomas himself doesn't get a look in Matthew, Mark, or Luke's gospel. But in John's gospel, we have three times that he appears in the gospel. And that's what's on this A5 flyer here. The three times that Thomas is mentioned in St. John's gospel. The first time we meet Thomas is in chapter 11. Jesus has got news that Lazarus is dead. Jesus delays, and then he sets his sight on going to raise Lazarus from the dead, and then going on into Jerusalem. The disciples are very worried about this. What is going to happen to them? Thomas's approach there in verse 16 is, let us go that we may die with him. No words of doubt here. No words of, oh, what should we do? I'm not sure, Jesus, whether that be a good idea or not. No, let us go so that we can die with him. He's 100% behind Jesus. He's 100% trusted in Jesus at that point. No rumours of doubt at all. We next meet Thomas in chapter 14. Time has moved on. We're now at the Last Supper. We're now at what we call Maundy Thursday. And we're now with Jesus talking to his disciples, preparing them for what is going to come next. And one of the most beautiful bits of John's Gospel, one of the most beautiful bits of Scripture. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And it goes on, and Jesus says, you know the way to the place where I am going. And who is it that answers Jesus at this point? Our friend Thomas, who says openly and honestly, Lord, we do not know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Here Thomas is brave enough to put his hand up, to speak out, and to say, look, Jesus, you're a great guy, it's been absolutely amazing the last 3 years have been, but sometimes you confuse me and sometimes you lose me, and this is one of those moments now. How often are we brave enough to actually put our hands up when we don't understand something? How often do we sit there and think, well, I hope somebody else asks that question because I don't have a clue what's going on. If we're honest with ourselves, it takes a lot of strength of character just to ask a question. But when you do ask the question, you get the most glorious answer from Jesus. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Thomas doesn't understand. He questions, and then Jesus tells Thomas something more, reveals his divinity even more, that no one comes to the Father except through him. He is God on earth. Jesus is there to show us the way. And then we get on to today's reading. Once again, a few days have passed, and we're now on the first Sunday of a new age. The first Sunday after Jesus had been crucified. The disciples are together in a locked room. Now the interesting thing here to begin with is that Thomas is not there with them. Why isn't he there? Is he worried? Is he nervous? Is he not wanting even to go out of his front door? Is he bereft? Or has he had enough? Is this the end of the line for Thomas? And he's turned his back on his friends who he's been with for the last 3 years. We don't know. We don't know. We're not told. But we are told that he wasn't there. So he wasn't there to experience the resurrected Lord when Jesus came to the other disciples. But, of course, as we see in the reading, he immediately shows the disciples his wounds so that they may believe. So don't gang up on poor Thomas just saying, when he's told about it, you know, I need to see the wounds myself. I need to see what it is before I can believe. A week later, the disciples are locked in the room again, and this time, gloriously, Thomas is with them. Again, Jesus came and stood among them and said to Thomas, put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand, and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. And what happens next? We don't know if he ever touched the wounds. I like to think he doesn't. But what happens next in the text? Thomas came out with the greatest declaration of faith made in the Bible at that point. He said to Jesus, my Lord and my God. Thomas, doubting Thomas, is the first one to say to Jesus, to acknowledge his divinity, and to say, my Lord and my God, my Saviour, my friend, whatever words it is you want to put in there. It's from Thomas, our friend Thomas. It is Thomas who understands, who gets a realization, who gets a light bulb moment. So I say that Thomas is actually a perfect role model for us in our discipleship. And this week, I invite you to take this piece of paper home. Make yourself a cup of tea, because I always think better with a cup of tea. Make yourself a cup of tea and read through these passages and think about the evolving discipleship of Thomas. And think what role model it is for us. Firstly, Thomas is open about his doubts. By being open about them, he addresses them. The others might go, well, I'm not sure, but I'm not going to voice it, I'm not going to say anything. Thomas acknowledges it. And because he acknowledges it, he works through to a deeper faith. The opposite of faith is not doubt. Doubt can lead us on a journey that gets us to a deeper understanding of God and our Saviour, Jesus. The opposite of faith is certainty. It is not doubt. Don't be frightened of doubt. Don't be frightened of questions. And that's the other thing about Thomas. He's the one who's brave enough to ask the questions. He stands up, he says, I don't understand this, please let me explain. And thirdly, we see in this great passage from John 20 that Jesus does something for Thomas to help him. Jesus never gives up on anyone. Thomas knows that, And Thomas then welcomes Jesus again into his life. He has doubted, he has wondered, he has asked the questions, but then Jesus comes to him. We can learn from Thomas. We can learn how to grow our relationship. We can learn how to become better disciples by being open and honest, by not giving up, and by trusting that Jesus will help us. And to my mind, that all comes through in these three different passages of Scripture about Thomas. So, go home this week, have a look at it, think about Thomas. Take Thomas into your heart, learn from him, and let his experiences be our experiences too. Let us pray. Christ our Lord, risen from the dead, come and enter into the darkness of our doubt and despair with the bright light of your presence, that we may rejoice in you, the risen Lord, our Saviour, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. And now...